views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on, to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Hi, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and it's always good to be able to join you again, whichever coast you happen to be on or anywhere internet in between. It's always exciting to be able to have a show where you can talk about how to empower people to make the right choices. And today is going to be no exception to that. Today, I connected with this gentleman several years ago, and we had a conversation, and he had a really interesting title, which I thought was quite catchy, Bare Naked Leadership. And I was like, sweet, all right, that's what I'm talking about. But we got to talking, and part of that conversation came about because of the path that my guest was on. His name is Kevin McCarthy, McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy. And first, you can find him at kevinmccarthy.com, just like you can find me at chuckgallagher.com. But Kevin, at this stage of the game, has an interesting story. We both have some similar experiences in that we've made some choices in life that weren't always so empowering, but from that experience, we have been able to find ways to not only change ourselves internally, but to help other people find the right choices or make the right choices for positive change. So, Kevin, it's an honor to have you here on the show.
Well, thank you, Chuck. And frankly, no, the honor is actually mine. I'm humbled and honored to have been asked. So thank you so much.
You're an interesting story, and I think this is going to be something that really is going to resonate with the listeners. Often in life, I say, and I've been told that we tend to make choices, and we tend to find ourselves in places, in many cases, especially if you live long enough, where you you sit back and you look back and you say, "Man, I wish I hadn't done that. That didn't quite turn out exactly the way I wanted." And in a lot of my presentations, I open and close with the words that every choice has a consequence. So both of us have lived some consequences, but the nice part is being able to come out on the other side and learn and do something positive from that. But before we get there, take us back, Kevin. Give us a little of the backstory of Kevin McCarthy and how that brought us together to connect.
Yeah, you betcha. So when I'm asked to go back, I never quite know how far. So should I start when I was born? No, I'm just kidding.
Let's start at the very beginning.
There you go. you mentioned interesting, by the way, and that we can go back there. I was like, that's what the blind date's mother said about me. Hey, but he's interesting.
Oh man.
So yeah, it's been an interesting journey, quite frankly. In my teens, I was what people would say would be a natural born salesperson. I don't believe in that, but I just was outgoing, and I was also very much a sales guy. I was always looking to sell something, make a buck, whatever. And then I got into my 20s, Chuck, and it started to formulate ideas to get into my own business. I really kind of wanted to be self-employed, you know, the American dream and just success and climb the ladder and, you know, be in charge of my own destiny, all of that, right?
Right.
So I did. So I started building businesses. I had I stumbled my way through a number of small failures when I was young, and then I was blessed. When I was in my late 20s, I partnered up with a couple really sharp people, and we opened up a real estate office. And I was already a licensed realtor, so I figured this was a natural transition. You know, go from licensee, and you think you know it all, to owning an office. And hey, isn't that the way it works?
Absolutely. But
we set out and built a plan. So we had a business plan. We executed on it. And it was probably a bunch of young, dumb luck in some ways, and maybe some execution in others. But we became the number one Century 21 office in Arizona and within 2 years out of all the different franchisees. And then within the fifth year, we were ranked 13th largest Century 21 franchise in the country. Here I am in my, at this point, in my early 30s, I was probably 30, 31, and I'm thinking I've arrived, right? I'm thinking I'm on top of the world. Man, this is great. You know, national notoriety, recognition by our peers. In fact, I was on the board of directors for what's called the Maricopa County Brokers Council, which is a Century 21 thing with all the independent franchisees. We get together and we talk. And by the way, not antitrust stuff. Just wanted to make that clear.
Right.
But we would talk and just kind of figure out how to empower our individual agencies and such. And so as a board member, I opened my big mouth and said a really silly statement at the time, Chuck. It was 1994. And I said, hey, what's this internet thing going to do to our industry? I had no idea. I never even used email when I asked the question. And everybody was holding on to their real estate books with dear life. You know, the ones where the realtors
Absolutely.
Hold on and then just show the houses and everything. Anyway, so long story short, that success led to getting my first paid keynotes, which then I traveled the Southwest region on their dime. And then I turned into a 14-state speaking contract, which then turned into a national deal. And like I said, I was flying high thinking, I've arrived. I'm the guy. I've made my way. I've climbed the ladder. I've got all this success. And I created a .com, if you will. This is before the term actually was popular. So in about 1997, 98, I created a company that was selling website type products and services and very automated. I won't bore you with the details, but it was going like wildfire. It was really taking off. And then I was offered an opportunity to sell my company to a publicly held company. So, I mean, Chuck, I got to stop and be transparent here. My office had double doors. I needed that to get my head through, right? I mean, young 30s, and I'm just now being offered to buy my company. I became a millionaire for a brief moment. Brief moment's a key word there because it's the dot-com era. And that bubble burst. And then starts to lead us to where we're heading.
Before the bubble burst, Kevin, there are two things that you said that I think really from a listener perspective, we might want to reconnect with two things in particular. One, you chose to be a realtor, you had a license and you decided that, well, gosh, you know, I can sell it. Maybe I can own my own office. But you said two things. Number one, we had a plan. And I think that is a critical issue that most, let's put it this way, a fair number of young entrepreneurs miss. They have the idea. They have the enthusiasm. They have the talent. They don't have a plan. And the second, you said, was you executed. Now, you know, just for folks listening on the radio, that's a weird word. I mean, you know, you have to kind of be careful. You know, I executed. It wasn't like, you know, Guido. But you put forward what you needed to do to execute what your plan was. And the result of planning and execution was success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and I admire, I want to say that on the front side, I admire that because after we go a little further into your story, you are today planning and executing to create success. So the pattern of what needs to be done to create success is the same. It's just sometimes we get caught up in the needing the double doors because, oh my gosh, the success was far bigger and greater than we ever thought. And our ego then starts to get in the way.
Yep.
Now, you caught the early part, which is really cool. I don't get to talk to many people that have found this, but you caught the early part of, oh my gosh, I'm on the internet and people just finding out what that is, which, by the way, you and I both know was transformative for the real estate industry and for a lot of industries, frankly.
So you
got to this place. Now you sold your company. Where do we go from there? And we've got about 3 minutes till our first break, by the way.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so I sold my company, and the company that bought me was a large company in the real estate industry, and they were publicly held. So they gave me stock and cash. This is my first experience with stock, so it was pretty fascinating. I was a fairly quick study, but I wasn't the brightest bulb in the barn, if you might say. But I was trying to figure it all out. Again, the big head, the success. Now I'm owned by a publicly held company. I'm the president of a new division that they wanted me to start in that company to go out and reach the brokers and so forth. So it was just an amazing journey. And I didn't take the time, although I've always believed in personal growth, Chuck, I never took the time to really stop and think about how I was growing, right? So that's why I needed those double doors. So then the whole dot-com bubble burst, and you know, everybody was scrambling. This company started scrambling, and they went from 250 employees down to 50 very quickly. And my division, it was horrible. My division was the newest on the block. I had 54 people working for me at that point, and I got the call one day. I had to let everybody go, and that was a hard day. And then the vice chairman who I reported to told me to hang around. They're going to find a spot for me, but they've got to weather this storm. And they simply couldn't weather the storm. So the next part of the journey is a pivotal point for me in my career. And it's transformative, to use the word you used earlier, in my thinking. And maybe that's something we'll talk about after the break as we go into that story.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a great point, a great place for us to take a break. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Kevin McCarthy, McCarthy. Now, there's two websites I want to refer you to, kevinmccarthy.com, and another, which is really the direction for the future, is 360narrativegroup.com. 360narrativegroup.com. We will pick back up with Kevin. And Kevin, as we start to close out, I have to say one thing to you. You said that you kind of have a knack for sales. And I guess I did too. When I was a kid, I wasn't raised wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, lived in the projects when I was my teenage years. But I made potholders and sold them door to door. And I remember I made a record album when I was 16 years old, and there was an article in the newspaper, long since gone, by the way. The paper has been obliterated years ago. But it made a comment. It said, well, we don't know if he has a career in music, but he certainly does in sales. So I have to say, as we go to break, there are some innate things that are just almost DNA. And I guess for some of us, the idea of selling is quite natural. In any event, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Kevin McCarthy, and we will be back in just a moment.
Would you like to be a question with anything that comes up in your body or mind? Would you like to become totally aware and begin to function as the conscious being you truly are? Join Access Certified Facilitator Glenna Rice every month for a live teleclass where you can ask all of your questions and learn to create change in any aspect of your life. Visit GlennaRice.com today to learn more, and don't miss the next call. Join the questionable conversation today at GlennaRice.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Kevin McCarthy is my guest here on Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher. And let me say this as we pick up into the second portion of our show. Kevin is a dynamic motivational speaker with a powerful message that empowers people to make the right choices for positive change. And Kevin, we were talking about this incredible success you had in the real estate business, going from, you know, owning a brokerage firm to literally being called upon to travel the United States to teach, to speak, and ultimately sold your company. And then the dot-com boom hit. And the question becomes, what happened then?
And that is the question of the hour. You know what? It's a question, and it's the answer that that has actually revolutionized my life. It's changed my life, and it's really the passion now, Chuck, that drives me, gets me up every morning, and drives me to help empower others to change. Now, we both know that you can't change people, but we can empower them to want to change. And that's what drives me, right? So you'll see through the thread of my story that even today with 360 Narrative Group, that is all what drives that. So I had just received this great opportunity, just been bought out by this other company. Now I'm a president. Now I got these double doors, and my head is just swimming with ego. And then the dot-com bubble burst. The company went under, a slow death, but my division was cut first. Then I was actually cut very soon after that, just a few months later. But in the meantime, I had a buddy of mine at church. He came up and said, "Hey, listen, I understand what the situation is that you're going through, and I'm invested in a friends and family round of a company that's getting ready to go public." Now, remember, I said I had just learned about stocks, and I knew just enough to be dangerous. And I learned some hard lessons after this, because I went ahead and invested in this company through a long series of circumstances, but I invested in this company. Now, flash forward just a couple months. He calls me back and he says, "Listen, I told the CEO of this company that you are in transition and you have an opportunity. He has an opportunity to snag you because I was what would be considered business development, right? And that's what you needed."
Sure.
So I'm excited. I'm intrigued because I'm not only an investor and this company is not only getting ready to go public, but now I've got an opportunity to sort of be on the inside and kind of see what's going on and know the real deal, right? So super exciting moment. So I get this opportunity. He calls me up. He gives me a significant pay raise. I'm already in the six-digit figures, and he gives me another significant pay raise and says this. He says, "I just need you for 30 days as a consultant. And then have you on retainer for 90 days longer and during the transition of our public offering." And he gave me a task to do. And so I did. I thought, this is a great opportunity. And we've got to come back to this, Chuck. If I forget, you got to remind me, there's a pivotal moment when he offered me the job and I took the job and somebody gave me advice not to. I got to tell you about that.
Okay.
But I took the job and it turned into about a year at that same, under the same conditions. So I was considered a consultant for about a year in that project. And it was about halfway through that we get a cease and desist from the state. And apparently this is what we thought at the time. Apparently, he had been violating securities laws and was being told to quit selling stock in this private company that was getting ready to supposedly go public. Long story short, Chuck, is it was not going public. According to the FBI, which raided my house and the house of 12 other people in middle management and upper management, including the CEO of the company. And according to my attorney and so forth, apparently this particular CEO had been taking people's money, promising them and giving them stock certificates and promising them a return on that investment for about 6 years. And so, what he was doing is basically selling vaporware. He had a bricks and mortar business. It looked good on the surface, but the FBI said something to me in this ordeal that's always resonated and stuck with me. He said that he used this con man, for lack of a better term, used kernels of truth stuffed with a lie.
It's interesting, Kevin. I was asked to speak to a group some time back, and in the process of doing that, I got to thinking, you know, there is a pattern of behavior that seems to go through most of these frauds that take place, and I call it the pit. And as I listen to you, what you just said, I'm seeing this. Number one, there was a promise. Now think about it. You had just been, I'm going to call it downsized or eliminated from the dot-com bust, and here you are. And so the guy comes along and he makes a promise to you. It's a promise to invest in this organization, the friends and family. Okay, right. So the promise is the P. There is an illusion, like the FBI agent said, kernels of truth scattered with a bunch of crap. He didn't say it quite that way. That's my way of putting it, but it's an illusion. You know, it's not all, it's not the truth, but it's not all made up. There's just something that gives you the belief that it's really happening. And more times than not, the impact to someone who is sucked into this is it's with people that are close to them that will trust. And so if I have a promise, illusion combined with trust, I can create what Bernie Madoff effectively created, the largest Ponzi scheme in the United States. And apparently this guy was effectively using his skills to siphon money from people and to offer something that was not illegal to offer.
Right.
Now, you were told not to invest. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it wasn't even so much about the investment. It was about the offer to come work as a consultant. Okay. I was rebuilding myself. I had just been eliminated, as you put it.
Right.
Wait a minute. When we say eliminated, and earlier we said executed.
I know. Sure. The E words aren't really working, but we'll give it a shot.
So when I was eliminated, I was heading in a new direction, and I was going to actually reinvent another real estate company, this time up in the Northwest. So I was right at that pivotal moment when I got that call. Well, guess what? So I'll be celebrating my 29th anniversary here this coming month, and it was my wife who said, I don't have a good feeling about this. Don't take that job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, I wanted to bring that up because there's times when people that are close to us have some sort of a discernment, and I didn't listen. And maybe we'll learn why, but that's the answer to your question.
Gotcha. So you didn't listen to your wife. Here you are, and all of a sudden there's a cease and desist letter, and the FBI is coming up. How did that? How did you weave into that issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's a very long story. So I'm going to give you the synopsis. But anytime you want to chat longer and get more of the details, I'm more than happy to do that with anybody. And the nutshell version is this, is I became a very integral piece of the whole puzzle of getting the different moving parts of the companies, because there was three companies involved that were supposedly going to merge and go into this new company that was the beautiful shell that was being promised to everybody. And the shell looked really, really wonderful. But when it came right down to it, we had about 35 employees throughout the companies, and I was helping to – I went to an attorney firm at the CEO's request and helped set up what was called the White Knight. All right. So I don't know how much we want to bore everybody, Chuck, but basically the White Knight was meant to be the company that was going to bail out the problems or the sins of the past, if you will, of the company that the CEO started.
Gotcha.
So it all made sense. I mean, it was that P, right? It was that promise,
right.
the allure that everything was great. And so setting that up became a problem later. And what happened is that when the FBI came and raided the company, they raided my house, they raided the house of all the other sales guys and managers and so forth. And I was one of the managers. And when that all came down, then I immediately went and found an attorney. You know, I just watched enough TV to know it better, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So, immediately found an attorney. I wasn't arrested. They were searching. They were looking for documents. They were trying to find anything they could that could build a case that they had been apparently working on for about 2-3 years against the CEO. So they did what they did. They got out of our house, and that's when I went down and found an attorney. Well, as it turns out, the attorney made some calls and said, yeah, you know what? You're actually part of the investigation. You're a target is the term. So at that point, he said, and by the way, you can't afford me to defend you because I didn't have a whole lot of assets at that point. I lived pretty large, so another mistake. So he got me assigned to a public defender, even prematurely, because, again, I never got indicted, arrested, or anything like that. So he thought, well, I'm going to give it a shot. He did, and he pulled some strings. So I got a really great public defender, and she became pivotal. I mean, she was the one that actually spoke out of her mouth and changed my life. And let me just flash forward a little bit to that. So what happened is now I'm in shock. I'm completely in just unbelief that this is really going on, that the dream is shattering. Still didn't even believe it up until the gavel hit, the judge's bench in what's called the receivership, hearing, which is when the government took over that company. So even up until that point, we're all kind of thinking, well, this has to be a mistake because of that promise. You know, we were just fixated on it. And I've got a lot of mindset issues we can address, Chuck, and maybe you can bring that up at the appropriate time. But then I'm fighting with my attorney for about 30 days because she's telling me that she's been in communication with the prosecutors. They definitely want to indict me as one of the co-conspirators. They're going to just do a massive sweep and sweep up as many people as they can. They're going to definitely throw the book at the CEO. That was the plan. They've built a pretty good case, and they were just going to try to nail him for everything that they could. And I'm just sitting there in her office day after day, you know, for weeks and for a full month, just denying it. Saying, listen, I didn't have a clue. I had no idea this guy was committing a fraud. I was just working for him and making all the things work to go public. That was the whole intent. And we were just battling. It was ugly. It was traumatic. It was heart-wrenching. And then one day she sat back in her chair and she just had this sort of like revelatory look. And she said, you know what? I think I get it. She goes, I think I understand why you and I are fighting, why we're at odds. She said, because I see everything through a criminal lens and you see everything through a moral lens. She said, I believe you morally. She goes, I think I can even convince a jury morally that you didn't know. She said, but it doesn't matter criminally. So as soon as you put those envelopes in the mail, you became a conspirator to his mail fraud. As soon as you sent the emails and gave instructions, you were passing on his, you became a co-conspirator, and that's the way the laws work. And Chuck, it was at that moment that my blinders fell off, basically. And my whole mind shifted. And I realized, wow, I had no idea that I could be so blinded to so many issues, including some character flaws like greed and such. I had no idea I could be so blinded and completely believe what I believed. And that's the moment right there.
It's fascinating, Kevin, when the blinders come off. This is Chuck Gallagher. It is Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Kevin McCarthy. I want you to stick with us because up to this point, the blinders came off and the reality that so many people live in behind the blinders is now coming to truth. We'll be back in just a moment. What do you do when the blinders come off? This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Kevin McCarthy. Kevin, you can find Kevin at kevinmccarthy.com or he also happens to be the CEO of 360narrativegroup.com. Kevin, here you are. Somebody comes along and they say to you, man, I tell you what, we're going to have this great new opportunity. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to promise you something. I'm going to pay you a comfortable salary. You're a bit on the rebound at this point in time. We all want to believe that there's opportunity for us. And then all of a sudden, the FBI comes knocking on the door. By the way, for those listening or watching on the YouTube channel, when the FBI comes knocking, I'm going to just say it. Generally speaking, they already know what they're there for. And the best thing you can do is hire an attorney as quickly as possible, because they don't come knocking just for the fun of carrying on a conversation.
So true.
Now, that said, when your attorney said, you know, you see things morally and she sees them legally and the blinders fell off, you recognized, regardless of your intent, what you did was considered conspiracy, and that is a federal crime. Mm-hmm. Yep. So where from there?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So as soon as I realized that and understood that I was complicit in this guy's crime, whether I liked it or not, and here I am, the very first thing I did, Chuck, is I basically went back, told my wife, this is what they're doing. They're offering us a plea, and she didn't take but a few seconds to say, sign the plea. So I did sign the plea. I ended up shortening the story here for us. I ended up taking a 48-month sentence. And I like to say a 48-month sentence for a crime I didn't knowingly commit, but I did commit. I'm totally guilty, and I was complicit in his conspiracy. It's just simple as that. So then I ended up in what's called a federal prison camp.
Kevin, before we go to the prison camp, I want to share a quick story with our listeners. Because it's important. You know, you can sit back and you hear what Kevin says, and some of you have heard my story, but I got a call the other day from a former CPA, former being the operative word, but he asked this question, and Kevin, you'll understand this. He called and he said, hey, listen, he said, you know, I'm a convicted felon, and I'm challenged to try to figure out how to put my life back together. It looks like you have. How did that take place? And so I asked him a little bit. I said, well, tell me a little bit about your background. The short version is he was a CFO of a company. When he began to think that the CEO and the COO were committing some sort of fraud, he couldn't quite put his fingers on it. But when he felt that, he quit. He said, I'm not having anything to do with it. Okay, another CFO comes in, did the same thing. Third CFO kind of figured it out with the COO and CEO, and all three of them now are in federal prison. Hmm. Okay, well, so what does that have to do with the guy, you know, the first one that called me? Well, he quit 5 years earlier, but the federal government said, but you knew there was something wrong and you did not report it. So if you know there is something wrong and you fail to report it, you are a conspirator for something to be wrong. And so I say this to say for those on the radio audience, if you think something's wrong, you can't just walk away. Sometimes you have an obligation to report, because conspiracy is as simple as you know it, but you don't report it, therefore you condone it, and if you condone it, you're guilty.
Yeah.
So now, true. You know, the unfortunate thing in this particular case was, you know, the guy is now a convicted felon. He had no prison time. He had a year of house arrest, but irrelevant or irrespective to what his prison was, he is imprisoned by the title. Now, you got imprisoned by the title, but you actually spent 4 years in federal prison. And while it might have been a prison camp, I'm going to say this, maybe save you from it. Some people are like, well, you went to Club Fed. It is a club. That is, you're a convicted felon, so you're in the club, and it is federal, and you have to work, and typically you're paid 12 cents an hour, and there is nothing fun about it. So anybody that thinks that federal prison, even if it's minimum security, is easy, has another thought coming. Mm-hmm. Now, talk to us a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, you bet. So, as you said, it is a prison camp, and that just means it's minimal security. We didn't have any fences around the camp. We didn't have any locks on the doors or windows. You could walk away if you wanted to at a risk of being caught and getting more trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
but from that standpoint, you're still confined. You, even though you have to be there voluntarily, if you will, you're still confined. You can't do what you want when you want to do it. So it's a great opportunity to reflect, although not everybody does. Right. You know, one of the things that when I got in there, to set the stage, I guess, Chuck, is it felt like a community college campus in some ways because of the nature of the minimum security. So that gave people like myself, it gave us an opportunity to have a lot of freedom within the confines, which is an oxymoron, right? But it gave us the opportunity to make a choice. And I saw that there was really two different choices predominantly that were being made by guys like me. One is I call it the road less narrow, you know, the road less traveled, to borrow from the book, or the wide path. And what I found is that a lot of guys that were coming in were realizing that once they got past the doors, hey, it's just a party. They can just go, they can still play poker. Now, by the way, not all this stuff is condoned by the prison, but they can still play poker, you know, and a barter with, you know, with the chips and everything else. They could still smuggle in their drugs and their whatever else they wanted to smuggle in. They could still goof off and just, they can be the same person when they leave that they are when they came, if that's what they want. And a lot of people do that, and it's sad. And then there's the other group of folks, and that's where I went in there like the deer in the headlights, and I was like, no, I'm not coming back here, and something's wrong. I want to figure it out. And so the other path is what I call the growth group. So it's the people who have a growth mentality, and they're there to they want to really be introspective in many ways. They want to learn how, you know, where their flaws were, how they those blind spots were, and they want to grow. And so that was the experience inside. Was making sure that I made the right choices, hung around with the right association. I ended up with a mentor. I like to call him the Godfather, and he took me under his wings. So I find a good mentor, people that you respect, that can speak into your life and that can tell you, hey, by the way, you got a blind spot. You should think about this because I don't ever want to have those blind spots again. So I surround myself with people that will actually be brave enough to tell me the truth. And that's important, right?
You know, before you go on, that there's a lot to be said for that. To find someone that you can connect with who is brave enough to tell you the truth. You know, so many times especially in business, you connect with people and, you know, if they're subordinate to you, they're not necessarily going to be brave enough to tell you the truth. And if you're subordinate to them, in many cases, you're wanting to put that grand illusion on so that you can manage up. And rarely do you find that connection with somebody that's willing to, you know, say, BS, that's not what are you doing, and hold you accountable. So that's empowering, a very powerful thing to hear. And I know something that is relative to some of the coaching that you do today to help people remove those blind spots.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. You mentioned you mentioned coming out and the gentleman who called, what do I do now and so forth. And the fact that, you know, now we have this brand, you know, right. Now we have the stigma and you're right. A felon. Right. And I think it was it Merle Haggard that wrote the song, A Branded Man. You know, love it. About a man who basically gets out of prison. Now he realizes in society he's got this brand. And what am I going to do and how am I going to cope? Right. So what I had to do when I got out, Chuck, is I had to make sure that the principles that I learned while I was in, that I actually applied those. So right away, I surrounded myself with men that I trusted, men that would speak into my life. I got right around the right people, made sure I hung around with the right association. I made sure I started listening to my wife for all those married
That's
folks out
there. That's a really good idea.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 29 years this August. Yeah, it's worth listening to her. So anyway, and basically, yeah, just make a lot of be very intentional about our choices. And most importantly, go through the healing process. You know, when you and I connected, Chuck, I was still in the healing process. And I was so blessed that somebody said, you need to get a hold of Chuck, because Chuck's kind of been there, done that. And just like the CPA called you and I called you, and you kind of shared your story with me. And that helped, because I was able to go through this process of just realizing that I didn't have to carry the shame, that I paid the price for really bad choice, and we can move on. And it's a brand, but we can leverage that brand. We don't have to let that brand leverage us. You know, we don't have to let that brand hold us back. And we're all branded, frankly, in some way or another.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because you and I both, and we've got about 2 minutes to the break, but you and I both will get calls from people who either are going to prison or who've been from prison trying to figure out how do you put life back together. And the funny part, and I don't mean funny as in ha-ha, but the odd part, I guess, is most all of human beings at some point find themselves imprisoned by something.
Right.
Now, that doesn't have to mean that it's a minimum security, maximum security, medium security prison. Doesn't mean that at all. We can be imprisoned by a poor relationship or imprisoned by a cigarette. I mean, there's a multitude of things that we can be imprisoned by. The question is not what imprisons us. The question is, what are we willing to do about the choices that put us there? Are we willing to make a different set of choices? And you call it values-based decisions, you know, trying to make sure that the decisions make sense.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that was one of the hard lessons, because I realized as I was climbing the corporate ladder, if you will, as I was driving for success, my motive was money. And that's never a pure motive. My motive was riches and success and status and on all these things. And these are never conscious motive necessarily. You know, I'm not sitting there day after day going, I want status. But that's what was driving me. So values-based decision is to recognize that and go, wait a minute, what's really driving me here? And what are my values? And then therefore, what are the boundaries that I'm willing to put around those values?
We are we're talking with Kevin McCarthy. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. And one of the things that is very important for this conversation is, you know, what are our values and what's driving us? Kevin, we're going to be back in just a moment. I want you on the audience to stick with us. We're going to talk about a success story. We're going to talk about what you've been able to do afterwards. Because, you know, how you got there is one thing. But the more important thing is, regardless of our brand, what are we willing to do to create true success and something that we can be proud of? Again, Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Allie Katz. Join Allie and Dr. Pat as Allie introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Allie, visit ATOZENmeditation.com.
This is Chuck Gallagher. We're back with our last segment here on Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Kevin McCarthy, and he is the president and CEO of 360narrativegroup.com, 360narrativegroup.com. Kevin, you've been sharing with us the story that took you to a place that you never in your wildest dreams thought that you would find yourself, federal prison. But that's not the story. The more important story is what's followed and the fact that yet once again, you are a co-founder of a company and something that you're able to bring to people to truly help them. So tell us a little bit about the after you're released journey.
Sure, you bet. Getting out right away, it was a transition period to go from this confinement where you've got this structured lifestyle, and then you get back out. And inside the camp, I created a pretty balanced life. I exercised. I hung around the good relationships. I studied. I read. I ate healthy as much as possible. So I created that, and then I got on the outside and realized, whoa, life's a little faster. That's easy, right? I was really blessed because before I went in, I actually had received another job by somebody else who I want to think of as some sort of an angel, because he hired me, employed me, gave me a leg up while I was in this pre-trial mode and before I went into prison. And then he actually gave me the job back when I got out. So I had another leg up getting out. That helped. But it didn't help long, because it was right after that the economy crashed, and basically that job went away pretty quickly. So I'm still now, I'm trying to figure out, and I'm dealing with my insecurities. I'm dealing with this brand. I'm dealing with just the transition. Flash forward a few years. I find the National Speakers Association, I'm super excited about, found a family, because that's what I had done for so many years. And so I got plugged into that. I got plugged into my local chapter. And you know what I did is I just simply started serving, Chuck. This is who I am today. It wasn't who I was in my 20s and my early 30s. So I just started serving. I started serving everybody I could, and I started volunteering for things, and that led to being asked to be on the board of directors. And anyway, I won't bore you with all the details, but that's given me a lot of great people to be very close to and be able to speak into my life and to be able to be able to serve.
Right.
About year and a half, a little over a year and a half ago, almost 20 months now, I was in my speaking business. I was reengaging with the full-time paid profession of speaking. My son, who at the time was about 23 and who fared the storm, I mean, me leaving him when he was about 13 for a few years, he came to me and he was working for me part-time, helping me out. And then he basically said, hey, I think I'd like to be my own boss. So
chip wanted off me to- the old block, huh?
Chip off the old block. And I didn't see it coming, because he wasn't heading in that direction. He thought he wanted to do graphic design and possibly work for somebody. But then he realized that he wanted to work for himself. So he asked me to mentor him, and I was just totally blessed by that. So we started this project together. I thought, okay, you know what? You're a gifted designer. You've got a great eye and intuition for what is trending and what's marketable. But you don't want to be a website design company. A lot of people do websites. I said, what we need to do is we need to elevate that. So let's leverage my boomer experience with your millennial experience. And let's do something where we actually brand and help. Well, see, I know a little bit about branding, right? So I figured let's help other speakers and other experts brand and reposition their brand, and then just simply use the technology to deliver that. And he thought, well, I'm not sure I totally get that, but let's do it. So we did. So it started out as a project for me while I'm still speaking and doing my leadership workshops and stuff. And I'm helping him, and I'm feeding him some leads, and he's helping build some sites and create. And I'll tell you, it's just been growing like wildfire. We debuted at the NSA National Convention a week and a half ago, as you know, and we were so well received. And here's the thing, Chuck, we weren't like received because we're this great, enterprise that's multi-billion-dollar enterprise and has the solution for everybody's problem in the world. We were received, I think, because we connect with people, because I'm a different person. My son grew up a different person because of the choices he made while away from me. And because I'm also in partnership now, I've also brought in another partner who was doing the same thing, but we were doing it separately. And we've known each other for 30 years, great friend of mine for over 30 years. And so now he's involved. So we are connecting with the expert industry. We're helping them we're learning their voice. We're understanding, well, who are you? What is your brand? Because when we talk about you and I having a brand in the sense of, that past that can haunt us, or somebody else having a brand, I mean, they might have issues from their childhood that's just a brand into themselves that's right, holding them back. Well, how do we take that, repackage it, and then put it out there so that we become authentic in our brand and connect with our, what we call the tribe, connect with our tribe. And so I'm able to leverage, believe it or not, and I never thought this would be the case, but I'm able to leverage my experience to be able to help others reposition their brand. And it's been it's an amazing journey. It's just amazing.
Kevin, I'm number one, I want to commend you. Saw you at the NSA convention in D.C., and the work that you've done. And by the way, just so while we're here and being transparent, I have to assume that your website, kevinmccarthy.com, has been created by 360 Narrative Group. And it's awesome. I mean, it really rocks, dude. I am very impressed. So I can understand why you're so well received. But I want to say something to those listening, because this is important. Kevin, other people recognize sometimes there are barriers and obstacles that we have to face, and you got a choice. You can either sit back and look at the obstacle and say, boy, that really stinks. Boy, doesn't that suck? Man, sucks to be me kind of thing. Or you find out what you can do. Now, I'll say this, and it's not said from an egotistical perspective, but I am the a vice president and COO of a company that's part of a public company now. And our largest client, great client, does $100 million worth of business with us. They won't hire me as an employee because I'm a convicted felon. But let's just be honest. I don't care. I'd rather do the $100 million worth of business. And so sometimes whenever in life we find that, you know, we've got some lemons, the question is, are you going to make lemonade from it? And as trite as that might seem, you have experience in selling. You have experience in creating businesses. your son's the millennial, but you were at the beginning of the dot-com kind of boom. So to be able to take what you have and make something from it that is valuable to create a living for you and at the same time to give back to others is the kind of thing that I'm interested in here on Straight Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Now, you know, I've said, and you've talked about, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but it's 360 Narrative Group. Give me just a quick snippet of, if somebody said, okay, well, I need a website or there's social media, or I need to figure out how to make my brand sing. Tell me what 360 Narrative Group does for me.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So most of our clients, and they're a little bit over the all over the board, but most of our clients come to us and we've got CSPs, we've got CPAEs. I mean, we've got new people that are just starting out in the industry. We have a newscaster, 23 years, is an anchor woman who's now going into speaking. So our clients are all over the map as far as their experience level. But the predominant thread that they all come to us and that what's resonating is that they're saying, you know what, but I need to tweak my messaging, my brand, to really portray who I am today and the value that I bring to my clients. We had somebody talk to us just recently, and her comment was, listen, my clients tell me flat out that my online presence, which is your website, your social media platforms and everything, my online presence doesn't at all resemble the actual value that they feel and the experience that they get when they're employing me.
You're pulling that together.
That's right.
That makes perfect sense. Yep. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we're rapidly running out of time, and it always happens on this show, and I have such a blast with our guest. My guest is Kevin McCarthy. You can find him at Kevin McCarthy, McCarthy.com. That is his personal website, or the venture that is helping so many people is 360narrativegroup.com. And I would encourage you to go to both because Kevin, thankfully, has a journey in his life that allows him to be transparent and allows him to be giving and willing to help other people. And Kevin, I have to say to you, my hat's off to you. I appreciated the first time you reached out to talk with me. I am proud to call you a friend and know that the relationship is even developed further. And thank you for taking the time to be on the radio show.
Oh, Chuck, stop it. You're going to make me cry.
No, dude.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. And I consider you friend as well and mentor. So thank you for that. Thank you for being you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, my guest, Kevin McCarthy. And remember, every choice we make in life has a consequence. So make empowered choices for your life. We'll see you next week here on Straight Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.